You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's good morning and welcome back to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, I normally share with you what is called the sweet hour of motivation, and I read out some interesting nuggets. And this morning on the line, I have got the author of those nuggets, Elder Thabani Moyo. Good morning to you, Elder.
Good morning, my Elder. How are you?
I am fine, and you?
Good, 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 good.
Elder, when do you get the time to write all those nuggets?
Do you know, this thing started some 5 years ago, when I used to wake up my friends for prayer. I would just say, sweet hour prayer. Mm-hmm. That's that to be enough for the people, for my friends. I was about 10 people. I remember one sister, Linda Spanda, the only sister to Dr. Takure. I used to work her up. We used to work together in the personal ministries and other few friends, Elder Noro. I work them up in sweet hour prayer. Then followed by verses, I've just given them encouraging verses. Then I had to take it up to sweet hour of motivation and sweet hour of prayer.
And you've been consistent about it all these years.
Yes, because of the people that, you know, if I stop, I'll have more messages than if I do it.
Yeah.
And the people in our country, Zimbabwe, I send these messages to our president somehow. Providentially, I got the number for the president. I used to pray for him. One time he invited me at State House. I went to State House to pray for him with Elder Noro. Then I also share with the Speaker of Parliament. Somehow, providentially, through to Elder Lupepe, I got the number for Speaker of Parliament. He receives them daily. And then our Minister of State, Bulawayo Province, Mama Kipi, Minister of State, the Arab, Matt North, the Arab Visit, and other ministers. Somehow they just came through. So now it's very difficult to stop it. They actually wait for that motivation.
And I remember at one time you stopped and I got in touch with you and I was like, Elder Moyo, what's going on? And you told me, no, I changed my number.
Yes, actually, you know, there are some organizations overseas. I think I was talking about the gays in Lisbon, not one. Then some people, I think they found it very offensive. They blocked my number, they put my number. I had to engage a South African university, a cyber security department. Then the ones who told me, no, there's an organization overseas. Then my number was blocked. Even after now, I'm using a different number. So I had to pause for is it a month or so. But I had to use this other line.
So, Elder, it's very true what the Bible says to say, when it says your gift will open doors for you. So it has opened doors for you to high places.
Oh, yes. It's a challenge. It's a blessing. You know, like head of state, like our president, you know, a lot of people will be expecting the president to be giving them quotas, but presidents or political leaders are people too. They need people who don't come and report things, but who come and say, Lord, God loves you, who motivate them. Like Dr. Takure is one person who's very influential on a positive note. He's an evangelist, he's a philanthropist, he helps a lot. But at times, you need to relate to these people without asking money or what. Just telling them God loves you. I think such people, we need to rough shoulders with them and help them also and strengthen them.
And what would you say to somebody, Elder, who has got a gift right now or a talent? What encouragement can you give to somebody who's not using their gift or talent? What words of encouragement can you share before we get into our conversation?
Actually, a talent is a something that is bestowed. Everyone has got a talent to serve both one or the other. Some people are good in smiling. And that smile can encourage somebody who is down. Some people are good in hospitality. Some people are good in prayer. Some people, all of us, it's like an ecosystem. There is no one who can sustain on his own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to use them. Like what the Bible says, it gives us some scenarios where people are given different talents. According to their capabilities, one was given five. When he used those five, God gave him five more.
Yeah.
Those with two, they were given. As we use our talents, we'll discover more talents.
Amen.
So I would encourage somebody with one talent or two to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Then in no time, surprisingly and providentially, they'll be surprised to see that what they can do, not through their own power, what God can do through them.
That's powerful, Elder Moya, and I thank you very much for that encouragement. So this morning, Elder, we are talking about the concept of stewardship in marriage. Stewardship in marriage. And I want us to quickly define or to explain what stewardship of marriage means and why is it important for couples to understand this concept.
Okay, number one. Marriage is holy,
mm-hmm.
or is unique.
Yes.
It's exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage comes from God. It's a gift from God.
Right.
It is God who created Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It is not Adam who brought Eve to himself.
Okay.
But it is God who made Adam to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Then out of him, he created Eve.
Yes.
And he brought Eve to Adam.
Mm.
And for that reason, Adam had to accept, he accepted that gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Before Eve was created, Adam was just there miserable. But it was God who entrusted him with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You will notice that marriage is, people go to universities and colleges, then they obtain some certificates. But it is in marriage where people are just given certificates before they even go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a trust.
Yeah.
It is a trust.
Yeah.
So marriage is not ours.
Mm-hmm.
It is God,
right,
given a task.
Yeah.
So I'll encourage everyone with a wife.
Yeah.
To or a husband or a spouse.
Yeah.
To understand that marriage is a gift from God.
Yeah.
Because Adam was gifted with Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Even us were gifted with our wives, whether it's Nomalanga, it's Beatrice, it's what.
Yeah.
That one is a God given institution or task.
Wow.
That every one of us must know, mm-hmm. and accept.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now that you've put it in that way, Elder, you are saying that, and we earlier on spoke about the story of Matthew 25, where the master went away and gave the servants some gifts. So you a talent. So you are actually saying the gift that God has given us, a wife or a husband, we should take care of because the Lord will seek accountability for that person.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Mm.
Actually, you are talking about accountability.
Right.
You should go to John 4, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue of stewardship and accountability is there is given where God says, go get your husband.
Right.
And she says, I have none. And for sure, she had none.
Yeah.
And she was prostituting. She was playing around with people's husbands.
Right.
And Jesus goes on to say, you have five husbands.
Right.
And the man you now have,
mm-hmm.
in your house is not yours.
Yeah.
You see how God, from heaven,
mm-hmm.
how God is strict about marriages.
Yeah.
There are some people who are not good stewards, who are taking other people's wives, who are playing with the heart of other people.
Mm. Mm.
God is concerned.
Yeah.
God is concerned about such behavior.
Yeah.
Because you can see, I think this woman recorded in John 4, verse 18,
mm.
it was a judgment. That was a judgment.
Yeah.
She was brought into judgment scrutiny to say the people that we have are not yours.
Yeah.
Mm. Even us, those that are cheating.
Yeah.
Heaven is not silent. Heaven is watching.
Yeah.
Then you go to the issue of this one, Abraham.
Yeah.
When he slept with Uriah's wife.
Yeah.
When the prophet came
David. Yeah.
To him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, David, yes.
Yeah.
The prophet said, no, what you have done, that one is somebody's wife. Then he cried bitterly.
Yeah.
These are the instances where we see accountability,
right.
And stewardship.
Mm, mm, mm. Now,
even Abraham, I stayed with a maid. God was not happy about that.
Right.
Serious.
Okay.
These are great men who had.
Yeah.
And when time came for her to part ways with that maid, she screamed and cried, but God said, no, separate with her. They separated. Only gave her water, bottle of water. But unfortunately, these days, people, I know a righteous person can fall 7 times, yet he rise again.
Yeah.
I will encourage people out there, those the small houses, in Zimbabwe, call them small houses, those implemented
afraid.
Leave them, let them scream and part ways.
Yeah.
Like what Abraham did. Only gave them a bucket of water.
Yeah.
And they almost died in the bush there.
Yeah.
But anyway, God sustains, God is love. Eventually, she was told to submit herself to a hermit. But God was not aware about it.
Yeah. So to you who's listening to us, Elder Moyo is saying, if you've got a side chick, a makwapeni, a small house, he's saying part from that person. And even if they scream and cry, he's saying leave
them.
Don't
sympathize.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's quickly moving on, Elder. Do you think that us, and I'm including myself, do you think that the modern day society, do you think that we see that there's a need for stewardship in marriage, or we only think of stewardship in terms of tithes and offerings?
There is need for stewardship in modern society, in this day and age, not only in tithes and offerings.
Right.
Because the Bible says you are not your own.
Mm-hmm.
We are created in the image of God, number one. Number two, marriage is given by God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the marriage, I think before we experience heaven,
yeah,
we must first experience heaven in our families.
Hallelujah.
And our characters, you know, I now appreciate why God hasn't come now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants my character to be perfected. And it can be only be perfected in a home setup.
You're right.
Where I must give love to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Where I must, where my wife must gain trust in me, where I must commit,
right?
Where I must tolerate it.
Yeah.
I think marriage is a refinery, where our characters are refined.
Mm-hmm.
Those that cannot live in a home environment, I really don't know if they won't make it even in the heavenly environment, because heaven is a family again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before you go to heaven, we have to practice. At marriage is like a practice.
Yeah.
We have to practice. Mm-hmm. We are given those marriage certificates to practice
right.
as a wife and a husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, thank you very much for that, Elder. Moving on, we want to talk about stewardship says marriages should thrive. Stewardship says... Elder, you go, you know... In my language, would say we are kwezelwa. You know, you keep the fires burning, and I think that defines stewardship, reviving and making your marriage thrive. What consists, Elder? What consists of a thriving marriage? What would we say is this marriage is thriving, and how do we keep it thriving?
Number one, we need to forgive one another.
Right.
As couples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not married to angels.
Right.
We're married to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
My wife can err, I can err.
Mm-hmm.
By forgiving her, I'm actually teaching her also to forgive.
Right.
And to love me.
Mm-hmm.
One, we have to forgive each other.
Right.
We must be committed to it. It's not a one-way traffic where one fast short and the other just a recipient. It's a commitment. Both parties must show commitment.
Yeah.
And patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not married to our twin sisters. Even twin sisters, they don't act the same. We need to be patient with one another.
Right.
Actually, a lot of people, married people, I don't know whether we have, we are going to have another segment where we are going to talk about the honeymoon, the purpose of honeymoon.
Right.
Because that's where network is where people get their network.
Right. Mm-hmm.
at honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Whether you have had a child outside the wedlock, people must go to honeymoon so that they connect. That
right.
connection, that network. So that they, that compatibility. A lot of people are into marriage, but are 10 years into marriage, no compatibility. They just got in, had sex, had children. They are not relating. They are not finding each other.
Mm-hmm.
People must have 5 times where they will find each other
mm-hmm.
and connect emotionally and spiritually and physically.
Right.
So for a marriage to thrive, marriage must be a partnership.
Yeah.
It's a partner.
Yeah.
Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Where people contribute 50%.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about this thing about the sex. I don't know the audience that is listening.
You can go ahead, my elder.
You know, it's like doing sex. Sex is like going to theater where somebody is a patient, is being operated, is just quiet and dead. It's only the surgeon who is doing the operation, opening the stomach, opening the head, removing the intestines, cleaning and so on, alone.
Mm-hmm.
Then the dead body is just there, emotionless.
Yeah.
You get the point?
Yeah.
So when I'm talking about partnership, we are all involved in that emotional, that brings family, that brings people together. And for some people are just there in the present, they do nothing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you are saying that... in order for marriage to thrive, we've also got to do, number one, what I hear you saying, we've got to play our part.
We've got to contribute.
Because the moment we do not contribute, we're not being stewards.
Yeah. Mm. Even those that don't give their spouses sex, they're not good stewards. Serious. Do you know... That must be a steward. You are there.
Yeah.
You know, some people need to be oriented while they're in marriage.
Okay.
They're not just there for fun. One, for emotional support.
Yeah.
So, those that deprive others, they're not good stewards.
All right. Okay.
And those who cheat, they're not good stewards.
Mm-hmm.
Those who get touched, you know, when I prepared for my wedding, it was 1999.
Right.
I went for a bachelor's party where I was being taught what to do.
Yeah.
I was told, no, I'm not marrying my sister or my grandmother.
Mm.
No, I'm marrying a wife.
Right.
And I was told the duties, what I should do in marriage.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some people, they just go in there, they injure each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's even an act of doing things.
Right.
Those who just sleep or do sex without romance, they're not good stewards. They're just injuring.
Wow. Wow.
A lot of marriages are like road traffic accidents.
Yes.
On the highway, but that means mechanics know this one. There's a puncher. This one, the starter is not there. People are not doing the right things.
Right, Elder Moya. Before you make other people cry, and you are so right. You are so right. I quickly want us to touch, you've spoken, and I'm realizing that we actually don't take stewardship at a very serious level, because you're talking about people injuring each other in marriage, people going into sex without foreplay. That's not good stewardship. And I've read an article by one of the leading commentators on marriage, that is Barrington Brennan. He says some marriages border on rape, where spouses are raping their spouses because there's no foreplay, there's nothing, there's no motivation to culminate in sexual consummation.
Yes. Do you know a lot of people would die without experiencing what is the orgasm?
Yes.
They think it's organism, but it's orgasm.
Right.
They only read it on paper,
mm-hmm.
but they can't relate to its experiences. How is it? How does it happen?
Yeah.
You know what? We are wired in such an amazing way.
Yeah.
God has put those buttons, those secret buttons,
mm-hmm.
do you know where we need to discover?
Right.
It's not just like you are robots, it's red. amber, green, whatever. Mm. We have to discover. We have to play around each other.
Yeah.
Even there are some sensory stimulus that are there. They migrate with time.
Right.
That shows, you know, we have to touch that boat around. At times we may need to touch toes. Mm. At times we may need to touch the breast. At times we may need to touch the neck. At times we may need to hold the hand. So we need to discover. We need to be romantic. That's stewardship.
Right.
Yeah, it's like having a machine that needs oiling, that needs starting your balls, this and that.
Mm.
That's stewardship.
Right.
Even to say good morning, sweetie, it's a stewardship.
Wow.
You know, there are some people, as we speak now, in Zimbabwe, it's now around 10 a.m., but there are some people who can say good morning, sweetie. That's now as we speak. You see, people say why? You can't say good morning.
Yeah.
Now, 3 hours, 2 hours after sunrise. Mm. No good morning.
Yeah.
Maybe someone said, where is my water? My water is cold.
Yeah.
Where is breakfast? That's the greeting. That's not being a good steward.
Wow.
Even praying
is
actually a spiritual element.
Right.
We are, as couples, our stewardship extends to spirituality. Where in the morning, before we leave, before we do anything,
yeah.
As we wake up at 5 with my family, we've done our prayers.
Yeah.
We know who is sick, who is not sick, who is well, who is writing exams, who is not writing.
Mm.
We're done with that.
Yeah.
So we need, as stewards in the marriage, we need to mentor and raise our children in it so that they know God. Then we set some altars, we pray for them.
Yeah.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.